More of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Teich. This weekend's Doors Open Milwaukee allows visitors into some remarkable spaces that are not typically open to the public. But there are other remarkable spaces around the city that people can visit year-round. One of those is the Pabst Mansion, one of the examples of the Gilded Age that has stood for more than a century.
Construction on the mansion began in 1890, and after it left the Pabst family, it later became the Milwaukee Archbishop's residence. It's been on the National Register of Historic Places since 1975, and this year marks its 40th anniversary of allowing the public to visit. Pamela Williams-Lime is the new president of the Pabst Mansion, and John Eastberg is executive director.
Lake Effect's Bonnie North sat down with them in Captain Pabst's study on the mansion's first floor. Williams-Lime explained what brought her to the job.
Well, I'd been to the Pabst Mansion many times, and the mansion itself, once you have an opportunity to come in and experience, really draws you back for multiple times. And this opportunity was presented to me to become part of the team to help it continue moving forward and building it into the landscape of the city of Milwaukee, even further than it's come over the past 30 years.
What do you see as some of your biggest challenges starting out as someone who knows the place, you know, somebody who's visited it, but now someone who's really in charge of making sure that it remains here for decades to come?
Sure. I think we've done a really good job, and we're on the path to complete restoration of the home and retaining and gaining more of the original artifacts back to the house. We've collected a number of archives that we've been working on. So the next step is really building a sustainability path for the organization, which will include becoming a bigger resource through lending our archives to other researchers around the country and beyond. And then completing that restoration project, possibly doing a build out to better meet the needs of the community and the activities, be it educational, research, as an organization for the community.
So when you say build out, do you mean literal build out, like adding on into the property somewhere?
Those are considerations being entertained at the moment. What that looks like, we don't know yet. But we do feel that the Pabst Mansion, you know, has a historical presence in the city of Milwaukee, but how we operate and what we offer as a resource to the community is somewhat limited based on the space that the house has to offer.
Now, John, you've been part of this for how long now?
Next month will be 25 years.
So what brought you here?
A flyer.
It was really that simple?
It literally was a flyer at Cardinal Stritch College when I was there my last semester. There was a flyer to volunteer at the Pabst Mansion. Of course, I had an interest in historic architecture, history, and this was just going to be something that was going to get a little job experience.
And here you are.
And here I am.
25 years later. Pamela was talking about the restoration that's continuing, that's ongoing. Have you been in charge of that pretty much along the way?
Pretty much. A real interest of mine was using these original 1897 photographs we have of the house to not only bring the interiors back to what they look like, but actually to start populating the rooms back with original objects. And I think for people who might have seen the Pabst Mansion 10, 15 years ago, even 5 years ago, the Pabst Mansion has completely developed into another institution as far as the aesthetics and the art collection. I mean, I think that's kind of one of the best kept secrets in Milwaukee is the sublime art collection that we have, hundreds of pieces of which actually were collected by the Pabst family. So these are things that left the house in 1907 when they closed up the house and it was sold to the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, have remained with the Pabst family, but over the last 10, 15 years, they have donated hundreds of objects back to us. So they're excited for people to see the house the way their ancestors saw the house, and they're so supportive of it becoming kind of its best self.
Where are the branches of the Pabst family at this point? Are they all around the area or have they gone much farther?
They're all over the world, you know, and there still are a couple of branches that are here in Wisconsin and southeastern Wisconsin. But a lot of the branches over the generations, you know, kind of moved either to California or New England. One branch ended up back in Germany shortly after the turn of the century. So they really are all over the place. And last summer we had the 125th anniversary of the completion of the house and had a all-branch Pabst family reunion. So we had over 80 family members come back to Milwaukee.
Were they impressed?
They were very impressed. They were very impressed with the house. They were very impressed with Milwaukee. We kind of showed them the best of the city, and they could see where the Pabst Mansion fits into that. And I think it's things like that that fuel their interest in seeing the Pabst Mansion continue to thrive, support it, but also to bring original artifacts back. And quite frankly, I think they sometimes challenge one another. Well, I'll give this, but you have to give yours back over as well. And we're putting together a collection of three paintings in the dining room that were separated to three different branches in 1907. We have two of them back in the house, and we're working on the third right now.
So, Pamela, I know you said you've, of course, visited here many years before you assumed your current position. Do you have a favorite place that you like to come back to within the house over and over again?
You know, each time I come back to the house, I look at it with a different pair of eyes. So, you know, the first time you come in, you're just trying to take in the whole house. The second time you come in, you start noticing the details of the structure. The third time you come in, you might focus on strictly the artwork. So every time you come in, you absorb something else and you get more excited about something else. So to answer your question, I don't have a specific favorite room necessarily, but each time I come in, I identify a different detail that really speaks to me.
Again, there's so much to look at. And, mm-hmm. And I'm sitting facing the door, and I'm assuming this is a closet. The door is gorgeous, but what keeps drawing my eye are the hinges.
The hinges are remarkable. And the store that we're looking at was Captain Pabst's records closet, but also his cigar humidor. So he consumed about $21 worth of cigars a month in the 1890s. So we have his cash book, so it's kind of interesting to see what he was spending money on in those days. And that was a lot of money, you know, for cigars. But yeah, this was all done by the Matthews brothers here in Milwaukee. They were like one of the best woodworking firms in the Midwest. It's funny to think of that they bridged this house, and one of their last commissions was Falling Water in Pennsylvania. So it's just very funny to think
very
of.
Different.
Yeah, very different. You know, styles do change. And but, you know, this is an extraordinary house. Again, hard to believe that was built in 2 years.
2 years, and that it almost became a parking lot.
It almost became a parking lot. So it was, you know, West Wisconsin Avenue, then known as Grand Avenue in the 1890s, had about 50 or 60 mansions lining it. And through development, most of those mansions were gone by the 1970s. And when this house came up for sale, really the only person that had the wherewithal to purchase it was the gentleman who owned a hotel next door. And his intention was to tear it down for a parking lot.
So, Pamela, what do you see as some of the first things that you want to accomplish as president?
You know, Milwaukee is such a thriving city, and there's so much energy, and I think that there's great opportunity with partnering with other institutions to make the Pabst more visible for all the resources that we could provide to the community. I think that is a real focal point for the organization as we look forward to generating more support to get some of those other projects done. I think that it really does speak to the history of the city, and we have some huge opportunity with education. You know, developing a relationship with the school systems to become part of the local education and history of the city of Milwaukee. So I'd have to say it is going to be reaching out with to many different partners for a lot of different things as we carve that path for the future.
I also would think that there would be room to keep it on the curriculum for the schools of architecture that are mm-hmm. around. Do you get students in from those schools just seeing what people were doing in the 1890s?
We do on a regular basis with MIAD and with UWM School of Architecture. It's so interesting because this house is really a feast for the eyes when you're used to modern architecture. You know, it is kind of overwhelming in some respects, but it's interesting to see the students really get into the craftsmanship. And a young person in their teens and early 20s, they've never seen kind of these really designed, dense, rich environments. So it's fun for them to just kind of dissect a panel, a wall, and then they think of how that panel was crafted. And it's all those, it's a detail house. And so I think it, as a learning tool, I think it's just amazing. I love when we get thank you notes from younger students and what they see here, which is so fascinating because I don't think it's anything the three of us would see, but they see details and they make their own connections. And I know that the Pabst Mansion and the experience they have here will definitely resonate with them going forward.
Well, one of the things that is so key, as you say, for people who are used to a much more, or much less, maybe, is a better way to put it, a type of architecture where things are much more streamlined, there's very little detail, colors aren't like on top of each other necessarily. You walk into one of the rooms and there's so much layering of texture and color and contrast, and you realize that that can all work together too. We're just not used to seeing it
right
now.
And this was, and to be fair to the Pabst family and the late Victorians, they were finally starting to understand how to make all of these things work. And I always think this house is that earliest, what would be one of the earliest results of using interior designer and having a son-in-law who was an artist who was put in charge of the interior and making sure that everything harmonized and was cohesive.
Thinking about color.
I think they saw in the 1860s and 70s just how wacky these interiors could get with all their colors and patterns. And this house is definitely, I know to our modern eyes, it doesn't seem like an early 20th century house, but it's definitely moving in a direction and you can see it. It's the first floor, it's fairly open concept with the pocket doors. It really is a very light, inviting house, including all the wrought iron and antlers that are around. But it's definitely moving into the 20th century. It was a very modern house for its day.
And it is a tool for future design influences. When you look at students coming out of school, what influences their creative design going forward as they pursue their careers going forward. And this is really a great impetus to, having that influence impact what they're going to do in their futures.
Right. Who knows what little piece of something that they see becomes a motif in their own work.
Exactly. Yeah. So, we encourage having students come to us for sort of an interface relationship, whether that's an internship, if they want to volunteer here, or just for touring. There's a lot that can be taken away from the house itself and its design features.
So before I wrap up, I wanted to ask you, John, in the 25 years you've been here, what thing surprised you the most that you discovered about this house or something in this house?
That there's always something more to see about the Pabst Mansion. And that's truth. Because I've always come into this house with fresh eyes. And to Pamela's point, you just do always see something new. And it's extraordinary when you think of coming to the same place, essentially, almost every working day for 25 years.
I have to say the thing that surprised me the most was the fact that he was a wine drinker more than a beer drinker.
It's our little secret. We won't tell anybody.
Okay. So. A secret's safe with us.
Yes. He had an interest in a winery in Germany and would bring barrels of wine over here and decant them in his cellar. And he had over 3,400 bottles of German wine laid in at one point.
Wow.
So
None of that's still here.
None of that, unfortunately.
The archdiocese, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So
They took care of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, those inventory documents have not surfaced yet. So
maybe they will.
Yes, they will.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for taking a little time out of your day to show me around and also talk to me about the Pabst Mansion. And Pamela, best of luck setting out on your new job. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Bonnie.
John Eastberg is executive director and Pamela Williams-Lime is president of the Pabst Mansion. They spoke with Bonnie North from the mansion, which is located at 20th and Wisconsin on Milwaukee's Near West Side. You can find a link to information about the building and how to visit at wuwm.com.